How to do, buckaroos? Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Tuesday, December 3rd, 2019. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Hello, hello.
Glad to have you with me today. Also with me today, I have Dave Hamilton. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Kelly. Thanks for having me back. Fun to be here.
Of course. I want to start with, Charlotte, a piece that you wrote up about Apple giving out awards.
Yeah, so they've hosted this event in New York. We were all hoping it was going to be some new stuff, but we didn't really expect it. But yeah, they announced the kind of the best apps and games of 2019 and some of the most popular as well. Just a quick run through of who they gave the awards to. Mm-hmm. The best apps of 2019. So the iPhone app of the year was Spectre Camera. The iPad app was Flow by Moleskine. Mac app, Affinity Publisher. Apple TV app was The Explorers from the Explorer Network. And if in terms of games, we had Sky, Children of the Light for iPhone, Happy Hyperlight Drifter on iPad, Gris on the Mac, Wonder Boy the Dragon's Trap on Apple TV. And of course, because we had Apple Arcade launched, they had to have a special category for that. Mm-hmm. And the Apple Arcade game of the year is called Sayonara Wild Hearts.
So oh, right. We saw that in the demo, I think, of Apple Arcade.
Yeah. And they also, there's the most popular podcast came out as well. Obviously, the Mac Observer shows top the list entirely.
You know. Mm-hmm. Thank you, listeners.
As well as the Mac Observer, there are apparently some other podcasts you should be listening to. And they were The Joe Rogan Experience, The Daily, which is obviously the New York Times one, Stuff You Should Know, The Dave Ramsey Show, and The Ben Shapiro Show. So that's kind of where we were. I actually hadn't used many of the apps that were the most popular. I checked out Spectre Camera this afternoon. It's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Have you guys used any of the others?
I have used none of these. I'm a fan of Affinity Photo, but I had never used Affinity Publisher before. In fact, I'll admit I didn't even know that it was a thing. But that's okay. That's, you know, there's a lot to learn about here. And that's kind of how it goes. Yeah. So I'm curious about this. All of my publishing stuff that I've done in recent years has just been in Pages because it's pretty lightweight, the things that I need to do myself. But, you know, like that's an interesting thing. And with it being 30% off, I'm probably going to go ahead and spring for it just to have it in the arsenal here because I do enough in Pages where if I had better features, I would probably use them. You know, I used to do a lot of this stuff in past lives. And so,
yeah,
it, you know, it's there. It's just like, oh, Pages gets it done. And look, it's right there on my Mac. So, but yeah, so I found this list informative, not so much celebratory, if that
yeah,
makes sense.
That's where I was at too. You know, we talked on another episode of Daily Observations about canceling arcade subscriptions and like why we did it and, you know, all of that. And so and part of why I did was because I couldn't justify, because I don't play a whole lot of games on my phone or on my iPad. And so getting to see some of these was pretty cool. And it was nice to see that they called out an app on the Apple TV and a game on the Apple TV, because I don't think those get the attention that maybe they should when there's some good stuff out there. And I've used a couple. I've used Canva and I've used Over to make little graphics on my phone real quick. But those were the only two on here that I'd heard of a couple of the others, but I hadn't actually used most of them. I've done some of that stuff, like the Moleskine app, is for like, you know, sketching and different things. And it's supposed to be very, very much pen to paper. And I use GoodNotes to do the same thing. So some of that stuff, like I'm doing that, I'm just not using that app to accomplish the same thing. Right. So, but I am curious to kind of check out some of this other stuff and see how it ends up, because that sounds kind of cool. So
yeah, I know it's crazy to say, but it's true. I'm excited to see the Mac stuff getting equal billing here.
Yeah.
Yes.
I really I know we've seen all of the signs of it, you know, over the past 18 months, maybe even 24 months, where Apple says they're paying more attention to the Mac, and there's some, you know, data points in time where we can say, oh, there's a thing. But now it just feels like it is. And the Mac has sort of come up to speed. I think a huge problem of tech debt that Apple had to deal with for a little while was metal.
Yes.
And I know it sounds crazy to think that a graphics technology would be something that would hold a platform back. But if you look at what Microsoft did with DirectX, you know, it's basically the same kind of thing, right? It's an API that allows developers to talk directly to the graphics hardware, the GPU, as we like to call it here. Mm-hmm. But it's more than just the GPU, but we'll call it the GPU. And the problem was Metal is much newer than DirectX, which meant that it only worked on newer hardware, and that hardware included iOS devices, but not a lot of Mac devices that were out there sort of in the wild. Mm-hmm. Because suddenly, you know, 10 years ago, we could buy Macs that would last us 10 years. And so until people started replacing those and getting newer machines that could support Metal, there was this sort of disconnect between what developers could do. And so Mac apps that were at least universally usable were sort of held back by this. And I think we're finally past that. Mm-hmm. And there's more to it, obviously. You know, well, Apple is intentionally paying attention to the Mac in a way that they perhaps weren't for a while. But I think it's easy to lose sight of Metal being a huge factor there.
Just before we move on, because I know we have to, there's one thing that I think is quite significant in the context of these awards, is that Apple Arcade is available on the Mac, which I think goes to kind of prove the point you were making.
That's exactly it. Yep.
About the importance of, like, Apple understanding the importance of the Mac. Because it would have been very easy to just make Apple Arcade a mobile service.
Yeah.
You can use it on your iPhone and your iPad, whatever, about games on the Mac.
And what more do you need? Yeah.
But most people probably think it is a mobile-only service.
Correct, but it is there in the Mac App Store, and I think that is quite significant for all the reasons you've outlined, Dave.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed.
I think that's another one of those data points that we can go back and point to over time. You know, 100%. when Arcade was released, you know, the Mac was one of the platforms that it came out for at release. And, you know, yeah, they didn't talk about it a lot because the whole point was, like, you know, all you can eat mobile gaming. But I think that's important. And it's a thing that, you know, 2 years from now, we can look back and go, like, here are some of the things that pointed to Apple taking the Mac more seriously again and remembering that they make computers and not just pocket ones. So,
well, and Metal makes it easier for developers is right. Really the key. And to sort of tie it all together, Apple Arcade doesn't exist on Macs that don't support Metal.
Right.
So there you go.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Apple. Also, if you get a chance to look at the awards themselves are always cool looking. So definitely, if you get a chance, check them out, because they're usually pretty neat. Now I want to tell you a little bit about our sponsor. Our sponsor today is Lightstream. And Lightstream is about helping you feel good, because you know what helps you feel good is if you pay off your high interest credit cards. And you can end up getting out from under that debt, which helps you save money. And Lightstream wants to help you do that with a credit card consolidation loan. So Lightstream will give you a rate as low as 5.95% APR if you use AutoPay. And that's way lower than the average credit card interest rate of over 20% APR. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000. There are no fees, no application fees, no origination fees, no transaction fees, and no prepayment penalty. So if you can get out from under it ahead of time, even better. You can apply straight from your phone, and you might even get your money the same day you applied. Lightstream thinks if you have good credit, you deserve a low rate and great service, and that's what they want to give you. Just for my listeners, if you apply now, you can get an additional interest rate discount. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/TDO. So that extra discount is from lightstream.com/TDO, lightstream.com/TDO. Now, as always, subject to credit approval, rate includes a 0.5% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. But if you go to lightstream.com/TDO, you can find out more. I'd like to thank Lightstream for sponsoring the show this week. And like I said, go find out more about them. Our other topic today is something interesting that sort of came up in the morning meeting, where we were talking about how, Charlotte, you now have Apple Pay Transit support there in London.
Transit Express, it's called.
Transit Express, okay.
Yes, and it's arrived in London. Hello and welcome. So in London, just quickly, we obviously have quite a complex public transportation network. It's run by a body called Transport for London. It covers the tube, the buses, some national rail trains, kind of boats on the river. There are, you know, public ways to travel via boat on the River Thames and so on. Mm-hmm. So there's quite a lot of stuff covered by TfL. And now, though Apple, you could use Apple Pay and contactless cards on those services for quite a long time.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask about. Is
right.
When I was there 4 years ago, 3.5 years ago, it was like we had discovered fire, because here in the U.S., you can't do this. Like, this is an amazing experience, folks. I mean, you can a little bit now in certain cities, but being able – this would have impressed me in any city, but traveling to a foreign city where they use foreign currency and they don't officially speak a foreign language, but, you know, after the jet lag from a red eye, it can sound foreign. And being able to just use my phone to get on the bus, get on the tube without having to, you know, first convert some money, figure out what kind of transit card to buy so that I'm not overpaying and not underpaying, you know, and that whole thing. That was just a non-issue because we just could tap and get on the train. So or anything else. So I was mm-hmm. curious, like, why are we treating this now like a new thing in London?
And the new thing is because it's quicker. So what used to happen is if you used an Apple Watch or an iPhone with Apple Pay, obviously in the wallet app, to tap in and tap out on a card reader on one of these TfL methods of transport, it worked. It was great. It took a few seconds, which in London, when people are tired and want to get home from work, slows people down. It annoys people. But by changing some of the settings to this express mode, Transit Express mode, apparently the process is a whole lot quicker.
That makes sense. Yeah,
there's a whole lot less annoyed people.
Yeah. They have that in Manhattan now.
Right. Yes, that's right. And I think
limited places, but it is nice. And you do it on your phone by going into settings.
Yeah.
Wallet and
I think
Apple Pay.
Yeah.
And then scroll down a little bit, and you have the option under transit cards to set this express transit mm-hmm. card. And unless you're fumbling around with things like I was the first time I tried this in New York, it works very, very well. Because like you said, you don't have to – it's not a typical Apple Pay transaction anymore.
No.
Where you need
don't have to press the button
ID
on the side of stuff, do you?
Right. You just tap and go. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yep.
So I'll write a tip for readers tomorrow about how you can turn it on. So that
Excellent.
People who want to start using it, we'll have a little thing up on the website about how to use it as well.
And, you're right, Charlotte, it is in Portland. This was the thing that they rolled out here. Initially when they talked about, transit mode and started paying more attention and started, I don't remember which event it was, but at one of the events when they talked about it, they've sort of been doing both. There's this other thing called a hop card, which you can use here and you can, you know, load payments on it. But, the hop thing can be a physical card where you get an actual little slab of plastic, or you can use an app. And, the machines were down a lot. And even when you could do it, it didn't always work like it was supposed to, things like that. So, it did end up being sort of it could be a frustrating experience for people, because if you're trying to do it there, you know, at the machine, the train is coming, you're trying to get on the train, you have to pay, whatever, it could be a pain in the neck. And you know, even getting to do it digitally, like you had to create an account, you had to install the app, and then you had to like put money on it somehow. And then you had to, yeah, it was a whole thing. So eliminating the middleman from all of that is a really awesome thing. And I think it's going to, and I don't use the transit system here all that much, so I haven't had a chance to try it out. But the people I do know who use the bus or the train regularly to commute are pretty jazzed about it because it's a lot easier to do. Once they figure out how you can load monthly passes onto it, so you don't have to have that piece of paper in your wallet anymore, is going to be fantastic. But for the one-off thing here and there, for people who do it, you know, occasionally, they've really enjoyed the fact that it's a lot faster using this experience. It sort of eliminates the middleman. And like you were talking about, you don't have to double tap the button or anything to make it work.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
cool.
It's good stuff. And this sort of led to a conversation about payment systems here and there.
And why the hell you guys are so backwards.
Well, okay, so you're right. So in London, or pretty much anywhere in Europe and in the rest of the civilized
world. If you're not here, yeah.
If you're not in the U.S., right, your credit cards are and have been for a long time chip and PIN, right, where you put the chip in and then also enter a PIN. That simply doesn't happen here.
What is that?
Well, the reason, okay, so it's backwards, or it seems backwards, but really what it is it's just early. When you create infrastructure somewhere, you look at where else it's been created, unless you're paving the path for the first time. But other than that, you look at what other people have done, and then you also look at what those people say they would do now if they had it to do all over again, right? And so we were the first here in the U.S. with credit cards, and therefore we rolled out this infrastructure that totally worked fine. In fact, I love to tell the story. 25 years ago, I want to say, I worked at Citibank. We were using smart cards. So chip, right? The chips that seem relatively new to us, 5 years old or something here in the U.S. We had those 25 years ago. We were using them at Citibank for this crazy thing that was we called it the enhanced telephone. It was an IBM PC XT and a screen crammed into a telephone. So people that were fearful of dial-up banking with their computers could use a phone that was really just a computer doing dial-up banking. And to add to the security vision of this, we put a smart card in. And the smart card worked. And it read data from it. Of course, people just usually left their smart card in their phone because it was the only place to use it. And so it didn't really enhance security all that much because it was always in there. But we had these things. And I get excited about stuff. I'm like, well, we should use these for our credit cards, because the credit card division was like on the other side of our floor where I was at Citibank. And I started ranting about how this would be way more secure. This would be so much better. And I was brought into an office and I felt like
taken outside.
It reminded yes. me of when Kramer said he wanted to cancel the mail, and he was brought into the room with the Postmaster General, aka Wilford Brimley, and was explained to him in no uncertain terms that thou shalt not rant about this anymore. And that's what they sat me down and they're like, you're totally right. But here's the thing. We don't have terminals out there that support these, and we would need them in every store everywhere in the country. And we don't have that. And so we can't roll this out. And yes, it's more secure. But as you know, we pay at that point. I don't think they paid fraud from $0. I think they paid fraud from $1.50 or something. But, you know, but that was only the official policy. I think in general, if there was truly fraud, they paid it from $0. I think was the sort of internal policy. And now most banks just do that as a matter of course. They're like, it's worth it to us to pay the fraud. And, you know, so the customers are not burdened by this, at least not financially burdened. They might be burdened with a headache with fraud. But but they were like, look, you know, we need our credit cards to be convenient. And if we changed everything to smart cards, it would be inconvenient because you wouldn't be able to use your credit cards everywhere. And people would use a different credit card, and then we'd stop making money on this. And that's the problem here in the U.S. now. It's the same issue with chip and PIN. We were able to change all the readers over eventually to support smart cards, but not all of them. I still routinely run into a reader where I have to swipe my card with a chip in it.
What is that?
Oh yeah.
Right. But that's the thing, is it's this infrastructure.
And also, I am haven't been to the US, unfortunately, for a few years.
Yeah.
But is it still the case they often take your card away from you?
Yeah.
Mm.
Like in a restaurant, well, yes. They will take it and walk away.
Which is a massive no-no here.
Yeah.
Correct. But well, you couldn't do that with your PIN.
Right.
Like that's impossible there. And the same is true, you know, five hours north of me in Montreal. Where they, even at a restaurant, this will seem so foreign to anyone, well, because it is actually definitively foreign, but at the end of a meal at a restaurant, they bring the, a little, you know, wireless battery powered terminal to you.
That's what they do in the UK.
Of course. And you put your card in it and settle your bill and then give them the unit back, and the card never leaves your sight nor your possession. So, yeah. But we don't do that here. That doesn't exist here. I mean, it might in some, you know, places, but certainly not everywhere. So it's just how it is. We did it first. And so we have this older infrastructure, and slowly we can swap it out, but we can't do it as quickly as someone that has nothing and can start from scratch. So
right. That's
just how it is.
For example, there's, and of course, anywhere, the point that ties it back to what we were discussing earlier is anywhere where you can use a contactless card, i.e. most places in the UK,
mm-hmm.
You can obviously use Apple Pay.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
It increases use of that as well, obviously. And so, yeah, a terminal that, there may be some technical differences that I'm unaware of that some people will be able to point out. And there, I can't think of any instance really where, so in the contactless limit in the UK, by the way, is £30. So any transaction under £30 can be used, but you basically use contactless card or mm-hmm. Apple Pay, like in the vast, vast, vast majority of places. And that also, we're not just talking about restaurants or transit. I'm talking about in a store. So in the local supermarket, if I suddenly realize I've gone out and need something but haven't got a bank card on me,
mm-hmm.
I can use the card in my Apple Wallet for both actually the bank, the shop's loyalty card and to pay.
Yeah. We have the same
and
here.
I just don't understand.
We do have that with, at least here anyway. I don't know if this is the same there, Dave. I think it's store to store, but there's like a $20 or a $30 limit where sometimes even with Apple Pay, you still have to sign.
You have to sign.
So,
right. So we have chip and sign here. Although, like you said, that sign part can be waived above or below somewhere between $20 and $30. I agree. It doesn't seem
miss.
To be a universal number.
Yeah.
But there is a number above which, like, I've never seen it where above $50, I don't have to also sign. Obviously, a signature isn't nearly as secure as a PIN, but it is what we have. So,
but spoiler alert, you can forge a signature.
What?
I know. Sorry, guys.
So.
Sorry, guys. I mean, obviously, there are. We should before we bring the show to an end mention some of the security issues, which are not nothing, right? You know, someone could steal my contactless card.
Yes,
and. Use it to conduct a number of purchases under £30, and there would be nothing I could do to stop that.
Right.
Right? That is a thing. I mean, I remember reading once in Freakonomics, the best way to get a card cancelled was to buy two tanks of petrol and some trainers. because if you steal a bank card, you fill up your car, you fill up your friend's
car,
and then you go treat yourself to some new sneakers.
Yeah.
But so obviously you, and that would basically automatically get your card cancelled if you did that in that. But
well, as it should be.
Right. Exactly. But with contactless, it's, you know, touch and go. And yeah, you know, for people could conduct infinite or however much of money is in your bank account, transactions under £30.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, someone could also, you know, see you typing in your PIN, steal your card, and utilize your PIN.
Right.
None of these things are foolproof.
Yeah, but there have been some tiny advances, like a contactless payment,
like,
for example.
Pretty secure.
Yeah, a contactless payment, for example. I think the range on that is like 3 inches, 3 or 4 inches.
At most, I think
that's where somebody would. That's where somebody would have to be in order to sniff at that transaction and get to it. And I think you're going to notice somebody who's 3 or 4 inches between you and your card when you're trying to pay. So things like that, you know, we talked about at one point on TDO, we talked about breach fatigue because I wrote up an article about how Apple Pay works. It's not carrying around your credit card number on the card that's in your phone the way it's on the card that's in your physical wallet. So there's a lot of ways to make that easier. And I think, you know, some of those things like credit card companies in the U.S. anyway, much like the Apple. Well, the Apple card doesn't have the number on it anywhere. I recently got a new credit card and the number's only printed on the back. So when you put it in, nobody can see it. Like for the most part, people can't see, don't see the back of your credit card when you pay for things. So it makes it a little easier to mask that if you do have to take it out to pay for something because you go somewhere that doesn't have an Apple Pay terminal. So there are some little things here that are hopefully to make some of that stuff more secure. But it's always interesting to see how this works. I know John, was on with us not too long ago and talked about payment systems and, how he's been watching them for a long time. And, it was an interesting discussion even then. So if you get a chance to go back and check that one out, there'll be a link to it in the show notes. If you have strong feelings about this, if you live somewhere where there's lots and lots of Apple Pay happening and you just want to tell us that it's great, or if you live someplace where you wish there was more Apple Pay happening and you want there to be, you can get a hold of us at observations@macobserver.com. You can talk to us at TMO Daily on Twitter, and you can leave comments in the show notes. That's going to do it for us today. Thank you so much, both of you, for being here today. Charlotte, thank you so much for coming by.
Thanks so much. That was really fun.
It's a great conversation. Dave, thank you for being here to be part of it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Fun to think about this stuff.
Yeah, it's always great. And I think well, now that we've solved payment problems, we'll move on to something slightly more complex tomorrow, and we'll see how we do. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.